am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Good day, everybody. It is April 15th, and this beautiful, sunshiny day here in Sedona, Arizona. I have to ask, and this is Purpose Talk Radio. I have to ask you if you've ever seen a quail run. I sit here looking out at this beautiful landscape, and there are quail that go dashing through. I wander around. I took a picture of one here at the door not long ago, but this morning there was one that just went racing through the yard, and they look so funny. I have to laugh every time I see them. It's just makes you want to go, run, run, run. And they do. They run really fast. So welcome, Purpose Talk Radio. And today we have a guest, Edie Weinstein, who calls herself the Bliss Mistress. And we're going to talk about living a ridiculously amazing life. But first of all, I'd like to take care of all of the housekeeping stuff, and then we can go from there. I want to introduce myself, Jan Revell, and how you can contact me is jan@purposetalkradio.com. And our theme song, see, I've got this list here. It's a good thing I have it because I don't remember all of this housekeeping stuff. So I want to say thank you again to Cindy Freeman, who is the facilitator of this show and who really is my right-hand person. In any case, thank you, Cindy, for providing this checklist for me. And Cindy's also a member of the group True Trinity, and they're the ones who have created the theme song for our show. That theme song is called I Am Who I Am, and I just love it. Walking in the Spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. And that's by True Trinity, with Cindy Freeman and Jillian Clark and Rachel Martinez. We want you to join us, if you would like to, on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook. So go to Facebook and look for the group, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. And Cindy will just ask to join, and Cindy will bring you into that group. And we can go ahead and you'll be part of those conversations that are going on all the time. They not only happen during the show, but after the show and during the week and for the next show. I want to let you know that I have drawn three extra cards today, Oracle cards. If you would like to call in for a reading following the interview, you're welcome to do that. And also, if you'd like to call in to talk with Edie or me, that number is 347-205-9074. You can also go Skype in. You'll need a Blog Talk Radio account and a Skype account, and then you can Skype in as well. So I want to let you know, first of all, I did a card for myself today. I'm going to give you a card for the show in just a minute, but I did a card for myself today because I've been going through some things lately. Well, what have I been going through? I had a yard sale the other day, and yard sales really do a number on me. I don't know about you, but I think this is the last one I'm going to have. On the other hand, I think I've said that in the past, so we'll see what happens. But because of that, I have an ankle problem, and so I ended up yesterday and today on a cane all day long, and I'm waiting for it to kind of let the tenseness go away so that I can then get back on walking around. And in my physical therapy appointment not long ago, he had me running up the hill, and today I can barely move. So there you go. That's what happens when you get old, I guess, and when you're stiff and sore. So the card that I drew for myself today is called The Surprise, and it's one we had not long ago, but it's a wonderful card. It shows a little girl who is sleeping, and all it really shows is her from the neck up, her face, and she's just very peacefully sleeping, and around her there are a whole array of fairy tale type creatures. There's gnomes, and there's a mouse, and a grasshopper, and a frog, and a little worm, and over her, let me see, that's her right ear, there's a little old lady gnome who's talking to her, and they're all smiling. Everybody's smiling and laughing, like waiting for her to wake up and join in the fun. Let's have a party. There's wonderful things here waiting for you. So wake up. Quit sleeping and wake up. So this little lady is leaning over her right ear and cheek and whispering into her ear, and over her forehead there is a little old gnome man who's got a red shirt on, and he's got one hand resting on her forehead, and he's leaning over, whispering to her, come on, wake up, quit being asleep and wake up. And beside him, there's a really good-sized mouse. Maybe it's a rat, I don't know, but it looks kind of like a mouse to me. And that mouse has just got a big grin on its face. And then next to the mouse, there is another old gnome guy who's dressed in blue, and he's got this pointy blue cap on, look kind of a Merlin-looking character. So this must be the Merlin gnome. And he's got his hands in front of him with his fingers laced and his thumbs together pointing up. And he's got a big grin on his face as well. And the next to him is a grasshopper, and the grasshopper has one front paw raised, and the other one looks like it's leaning on the back of a frog, but it may be on the ground, and the frog's just in front of it. I can't tell. In any case, it's got a paw raised, like it's waving and saying, come on, wake up. And next to it is this very large frog who also has a hand raised, kind of waving his hand around and again saying, wake up. And between him and closer to the little girl is a worm that's got this real glow around it. Everybody is waiting for this little girl to wake up. So you know what? No matter how awake you think you really are, there's always a time when you still need to wake up and join the party. Life is a party. No matter how we think of it, whether we have bad times or good times, it's still, there are so much beauty and so many surprises and so much wonder in life that we all need to wake up. So that was my card for today, is to wake up and enjoy the surprises that are coming my way. And I encourage you to join me in that, to wake up yourself and find the surprises that are coming your way. The card for the show today is called Candlelight, and it is incredibly beautiful. Now remember, we're going to talk about living a ridiculously amazing life, and this is just an amazing photograph, or painting actually. It shows a woman playing a violin, and she's standing in front of windows that look like cathedral windows. She is surrounded by 8 candles. I should have looked it up. I don't know what that sign is. There is a zodiac sign. You can tell me what it is. There's an arrow pointing to the left, and at the far right across the stem of the arrow is almost looks like an eye, an old-fashioned eye going down. Who is that? Is that Mercury? What's that symbol represent? If somebody knows it, maybe you can call in or let Cindy know on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page, and she can let me know what it is. In any case, this beautiful woman is dressed in amazing color robes. It's a white robe with red and blue and green and gold. There's a gold light surrounding her. The 8 candles are all lit, and every one of them has kind of a halo around them, and she's standing in kind of a cathedral type of an atmosphere. So this is a symbol of being able to be in your space, in your holy space, in your sacred space, and know that, you know, the number 8, if you think of the letter 8, the number 8, and you turn it on its side, it's the sign of infinity. So here we have this music playing, and it's the sacred music, the inner music, and you and me standing in this sacred location with these 8 candles, the sign of infinity. So remember always, not only to wake up and enjoy the party, but remember that we are part of infinity, that infinity is within you, and it's within every moment of our lives. So there's the card for today, Candlelight. And I have, like I said, I have 3 other cards that I've drawn. If you would like to call in for a reading, you can do that following the interview. The number's 347-205-9074. And we'll be glad to have you join us then for the reading. And also, if you have a question for Edie, or for me, then you can call that number as well, or you can Skype in. And so now I'm going to bring Edie on the line. Hi, Edie. How are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you for inviting me to be on the show. And as you were talking, I was relating to a lot of what you were saying. I have what I call my middle-age moments more frequently, but I've started calling them my wise woman moments, because the older we get, the wiser we get. So it's very nice that Cindy lets you borrow her brain.
Yes.
That's a good thing. And then you were mentioning the quail. I've had an animal messenger that's come to visit me several times in the last few weeks, and it's a robin. It's been knocking on my back window, knocking on my back door, almost like, you know, let me in, let me in. I said, I'm not going to let you in, but I'll listen to what you have to say.
Uh-huh.
So when I think about robins, it's heralding spring, new life, rebirth. My mother used to sing, you know, when the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along. So it reminds
right.
me of her. She passed in 2010. The early bird gets the worm, you know, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's telling
mm-hmm.
me something. So we are, I think we're always surrounded by animal messengers.
Right. Plus there's that red breast, you know, the beautiful mm-hmm. color of the robin's breast that
mm-hmm.
is just a sign of life and opening your heart as well. So
mm-hmm.
Edie, I'd like to talk about you for a little bit. I want to say welcome to the show.
And thank you.
Tell us how you came up with the, you say you're a Renaissance woman. Just tell us a little bit about that. What does that mean?
Okay, well, the Renaissance woman part, when you think about a Renaissance person, they do a lot of different things. My resume is like 2 pages and growing because I keep adding things on. I'm never bored. I just keep having new interests. So that's the Renaissance woman part. My background in education is in social work. I have a master's degree in social work. But I'm also, first and foremost, a writer. I've loved writing forever. I don't have a formal degree in journalism, though. But I'm a writer, an interviewer. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a social worker, a transformational speaker. I'm a Reiki master, a radio show host myself. What else? I just do a billion different things. I call myself a cosmic concierge because I always know where to find stuff for people. And I'm also a bliss coach. I teach people how to live their bliss. And I'm the author of a book called The Bliss Mistress Guide to Transforming the Ordinary into the Extraordinary.
All right.
And where, thank you, and where that came from is several years ago, I created a workshop based on the Joseph Campbell concept where, do you remember he would say, follow your bliss
mm-hmm.
and doors will open for you that wouldn't open for anyone else. He said a lot of things about following your bliss. But then I thought, wouldn't it be even more powerful to know that you are your own bliss, that you can BYOB, be your own bliss, so that you don't need to rely on something or someone outside of you to live blissfully? So I was on my way into teaching a workshop on the subject, and one of the participants says, oh, you're the bliss master. You're going to teach us how to be blissful. And after the workshop, I called my friend Jazz, who's out in Seattle now, but he was out in San Francisco at the time. And when I told him the story, he says, oh, no, not bliss master, bliss mistress. And I could, you know, over the phone, I could see the twinkle in his eye.
Uh-huh.
So I started calling myself that. He said, but if you're going to call yourself bliss mistress, you better be living it. So every day I make it a conscious practice, just like somebody's practice could be yoga or meditation or chanting, prayer. My conscious practice is to live blissfully, even in the midst of and especially in the midst of life challenges. So I teach other people how to do that. And that's where those two titles came from.
Awesome. That's great. And tell us about the you told the story about your son giving you the surprise and how living where this ridiculously amazing life.
Yes. Where the title of that, where that came from.
Yeah.
Last summer, he says, Mom, I have a present for you. It's in the passenger seat of my car. Go look. And I found a T-shirt that said, live a ridiculously amazing life. And he knows that I go to the gym a lot and, you know, always wear T-shirts to the gym. And I looked at that and I said, how did you know? He said, I saw it and I thought you would like that. So my son is not the most spiritual person in the world. I'm his weird hippie mom who does bizarre things, you know, my cosmic foo-foo woo-woo stuff. But the fact that he got me that shirt told me that on some level he accepts that it's cool for me, at least, if not for him, to, you know, to live that way. So I thought, what would it be like to live a ridiculously amazing life? And again, it's to honor everything and to have fun, to play, to set intention every day, that, and I do this the same intention every morning. I say to myself, I'm going to connect with amazing people and have extraordinary experiences, and every day I do. And today you are one of my amazing people, and your listeners are some of my amazing people. And that's where that comes from. And you know, and you think, for you, what would be a ridiculously amazing life? What would you do if you were living that way?
Oh, are you asking me, or are you just asking
everybody? Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I'm playing. Well, yeah, think about your listeners can call in. You may already be living it. What would your ridiculously amazing life look like?
Well, actually, I am living it. I love this living every moment. as though mm-hmm. it's the only moment that there is to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for me, it's my mantra every day is, what is it you want to tell people, and what do you want me to be able to say, and where are the people to be able to say it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's yeah. what people need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you already are living it. And if your listeners are not living it, what would it take for them to take that leap into the ridiculously mm-hmm. amazing life that they so want to live? Fear sometimes stops people, where they say, oh, I can't have that. That's, you know, that's for somebody else. That's not for me.
Right.
My favorite line from When Harry Met Sally. Did you ever see that movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Watch the classic line that I'm referring to. The two of them are in a diner or a deli or something, and she's telling, you know, Billy Crystal, you know, Harry is saying, you know, I can always tell if women are faking orgasm. And she says, yeah,
right.
watch. And she does her heavy breathing, you know. And then the woman sitting at the next table, who I think is
right.
Steven Spielberg's mom, is who the actress was, says, I'll have what she's having.
Right.
That's the amazing light, is to see something that somebody else is doing that they're enjoying as much as they would enjoy an orgasm, and say, I'll have what she's having, or I'll have what he's having. Because
right.
so often you say, oh, that's only because they're special, or they're smarter, younger, prettier, more, you know, more successful, richer. I can't possibly have that. You bet you can.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing stopping you from living your dreams. Not, you know, there's no limitation that could possibly stop you from at least living a part of your dream.
You know, it was not too long ago, and I told the listeners this, that I had an experience for myself where I realized that I looked back over my life trying to find one time, just one time in my life, where I had lived completely full bore, nothing holding me back. And I was hard-pressed to find a time like that, because I felt like there was always something, I always held something back. I never really let go completely. And even though my email byline for years has been, what would you attempt to do if you knew you couldn't fail? And I use that for myself, is what would you do, Jan, if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do about wherever you are in this life? And I think, all right, I'm going to go for it. And I do. But then I
yeah.
still look, when I look back, I still feel like something was held back, mm-hmm. and it's that fear. There's always that little teeny piece of fear that seems to be there. And from that point on, I said, no more. From now on, my life is full bore.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was the fear? What fear was the fear? If I do this, then what? And this is, again,
yeah.
something to ask your listeners. You know, if you have a dream, a vision, a passion, it's there for a reason. It's
mm-hmm.
not random. You've been planted, we call it celestial gardener, whatever your spiritual beliefs are, something or someone planted that idea in you for it to come out. Before I wrote my book, a friend of mine named Jim Donovan, who's a wonderful motivational speaker and writer himself, said, this book is not doing anybody any good in your head. Publish it. Get it out there.
Right. Right.
So if you have a dream, a vision, a passion, whatever your creative muse is telling you to do, the world is waiting for it. It's waiting for you to take that leap. And
mm-hmm.
think of how amazing you'll feel when you're living full bore, as you describe it. You have more energy. People around you are just saying, what, you know, are you in love? What, you know, what's going on here? You're glowing.
Yeah.
So when you live your passion, you glow.
Yeah, that's right. So tell us a little bit more about living a ridiculously amazing life and some of the steps that people can take in order to do that.
Mm-hmm, sure. The first thing to know is, whatever it is for you, my ridiculously amazing life may not fit you at all. You may think that I'm a weird hippie person, you know, that I'm not. You know, for somebody else, a ridiculously amazing life could be going back to graduate school and getting the degree you always wanted. For someone else, a ridiculously amazing life could be being a parent or a grandparent. It could be planting a garden. It could be walking the Camino, you know, between France and Spain. It could be learning a new skill, becoming an artist. Whatever dream, vision, passion you have, that's part of your ridiculously amazing life. It doesn't have to mean being on all the time. It could mean, you know, going on a silent meditation retreat. Think of something you've always wanted to do, but the monkey mind's chatter, inner critic, fear spoke to you and said, nah, you'll never do that. You're, again, not smart enough, pretty enough, rich enough, all of those things. Whatever those internal or external voices are telling you, make your passion to do this more powerful than those voices. That's number one. So know what you want. Decide what you want, because you can't get what you want till you know what you want. Then think about it like a garden, like you're planting a garden. That's the seed. You know, you have to know if you want to grow tomatoes, you're not going to be planting watermelon seeds. Now, once you decide what you want to plant, you have this plot in front of you that you want to plant in, but it's filled with rocks and rubble and all of the overgrown stuff that tells you you can't have this. So, Jen, if you're planting a garden, what do you need to do to plant the seeds in order for them to grow? If you've got rocks and rubble and weeds, what's the first thing you need to do? Are you still there? I think I lost you. Hello? Are you still there?
Hey, go ahead.
Hi, I lost you.
This is Cindy. I don't know where Jan went. So.
Oh, okay. Should I keep talking?
She somehow fell off the air.
Okay, she fell, but I'm still here. Okay. So
yeah,
anyway.
You're good.
Okay, thank you. What I was starting to say is before you plant a garden, you've got to clear away the rubble. You have to clear away the rocks and the weeds. And then after that, then you plant the seed. And once you plant the seeds, you have to water, fertilize, nurture, all of that. Now, the fertilizer is all of the, you know, the junk, the crap, the poop, whatever you want to call it, that you believed was true about you and your ability to manifest. And that can be used, to nurture the garden. Then you're still going to have to weed because the weeds are going to grow back. So it's a process. That's the other part of it, is to know that once you start planting seeds, you're not going to go digging them up the next day to see if the flower's growing. You're going to let them nurture, get nurtured. You're going to let them blossom. And then you also ask, do I want to do the garden all by myself, or do I want some help? And the idea is to have a team around you to help you grow your garden, to help you plant the flowers, to help you weed, to help you water. And then when the harvest comes, you'll be able to celebrate it with them. How cool is that? That's pretty amazing. Jan, are you back now?
I am back.
You are? Oh,
thank
okay.
You.
I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you both for Cindy and Edie for covering for me. My internet went down. Crazy.
No
There's
problem.
Not even a wind going on and it's down. So
well, strange things have happened. I don't know if you heard the whole process about what people can do. The garden metaphor. Had you heard that?
No, I didn't hear it all, but I got in on the end of it. So.
Okay, good. I was just relating to the idea that when you want to live a ridiculously amazing life, live your passion, it's like planting a garden, that you decide, and for the listeners that heard this, I'm just repeating it so Jan can hear the whole thing, that you decide what you want to grow, what your passion is. You clear away the weeds, the rocks, the rubble, all of the stuff that's tangled up, because if you planted the seeds there, it wouldn't grow. They would die. And then you water it, give it sunlight, you give it fertilizer, and the fertilizer is all of the negative thoughts that tell you that you can't have what you want. Then you enlist people to help support you in your garden, and then the final stage is to harvest and to have your friends celebrate your harvest with you. So those are some things that people can do to, you know, live their version of a ridiculously amazing life. And it takes maintenance. I'm not always perky. I'm not always smiling. So it's like anything else, it's a practice.
But, you know, don't you think that sometimes when you're not feeling up, when you are feeling kind of sad or blue, that for me, it's easier for me to, well, no, not easier. I have found that I work better when I really just get into it, have a complete pity party and just go for it, because I get bored with it pretty quickly. And then I can get through it. But it's kind of going full bore that way as well. But knowing that it's a temporary situation and
yep.
Don't get caught up in it forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that you hit the nail on the head, and I say the same thing. Once in a while I throw a pity party, but then I don't stay very long when I realize I'm the only guest there. That's kind of how I see that. And the other part of it is, if we acknowledge our current emotional state, then we're better able to move through it. I have the tendency, unfortunately, and my friends call me on this all the time, of trying to push through it without feeling whatever it is, because feelings are messy. I don't like feeling sad, lonely, scared, angry, heaven forbid, you know, that I should feel that way. That's what I tell myself. But I'm not being authentic, and people don't get to know the real me when they do that. I had an experience recently this past weekend where I was at an amazing retreat called The Woman Within, which is part of the Mankind Project. The men's training is called New Warrior, and the women's training is called The Woman Within. And without divulging the processes, because for people that will take it, I don't want to give away the surprise. And it's an amazingly powerful workshop. What I came there to work on was being more genuine with my feelings, to let myself feel whatever sadness, grief, anger that I had kept repressed, because it wasn't pretty. So You're absolutely right. Feelings are not always pretty.
I have to jump in here for just a minute because we've got another quail here at the door. I never see them up here on the patio, but a week or two ago and today, now we've got quail that come visiting only during radio shut time.
Yeah, I'm going to, as we're speaking, I can multitask. I'm going to look up what quail is, unless any of your listeners are, you know, animal communicators and have a sense of that. But I'm going to look and see what quail is. Ah, okay, this is interesting. I think you'll like this one. Let me find it. So is it just hanging out listening, do you think, or is it coming to the window?
It was coming to the window, right up to the window, and walking around on the patio. And usually they come down, you know, there's a water container not too far away, but it's still not on the patio. Ooh. And the fact that they come right to the door is pretty phenomenal.
Okay, this is perfect. Quail teaches about mysticism and enlightens you about your soul, name, and purpose. He is about nourishment of the soul, family, teaches how to elude problems, spot danger, and safety issues. Are you spending enough time with your family? There are safety in numbers. Perhaps you need to socialize. Quail also aids in awareness of dangers and gives you the quickness and camouflage you need in time of crisis. Are you blending in? Should you at this time? Quail will show you much about movement and taking opportunities when they are right. Allow quail to teach you this fine art. It is time to be aware of what is going on around you. Ooh, okay. Does that, I don't know if that resonates. It's from the website.
I don't know. I'm going to have to be more aware of what's going on around me.
Yeah. So you need to be more aware, you said?
it only happens during the radio show. So I think that there's some calling of listening, being aware of what's going on during the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, pretty interesting. And that this the group on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations and the listeners become kind of family, friends and family. So
where are we
going to go from here? What let's talk about, get back to talking about you again and about what you do.
Well, I do a lot of different things. Some of the biggest things that I'm doing right now, the most powerful for me, is that I see myself as a communicator. That my mother used to say that I started talking at 6 months and never stopped. And that's a pretty positive thing. I've learned, though, that to be in silence has been incredibly healing for me. I've taken some time recently to do that because, probably like a lot of your listeners, I have a very active chattering monkey mind that tells me that I'm not doing enough, that I can't possibly get enough accomplished. You know, how come you're not, you know, doing this, doing that? Why, you know, why aren't things working the way you want some of the time? And the truth is, they're not always going to be my way all of the time. My own spiritual practice tells me that there's something working in alignment with me, that even if it's something I say I want, it doesn't mean that it's in my highest good. And whenever I attempt to manifest something, and this is a tool for the listeners as well, is that I say, this or something better for the highest good of all concerned. And I have witnessed amazing miracles. So doing the work that I do with people, I'm like you, I'm a work in progress. What I've heard recently is that when you teach, you learn twice. That you're expressing to someone else, but like, with Reiki, I'm a Reiki master, and one of the things that my teacher had told me was that it comes through you first, so that anytime you're communicating a thought or a lesson, whatever you want to call it, it has to come through you first before you can share it with someone else. So I think that's a big piece of what I'm doing, is I'm learning as I'm teaching. And I practice everything that I teach clients, students, listeners, readers, whatever, because I can't not do it. It can't, you
right.
know, I don't want to be hypocritical, and that way I say that I'm my own, you know, my own lab setting. I test it out on myself first before I offer it to someone else. And go ahead. Were you going to ask something?
No, I'm just agreeing with you.
Thank you.
That's being vocal in my agreement.
Oh, please do. We're having a conversation. I love doing radio interviews. At first, it was rather strange with the idea of speaking to a disembodied voice and speaking to people that I can't see. I'm used to teaching live and in person, but I've become accustomed to the marvels of modern technology where I can actually speak to people who I can't see, but I can feel their presence. And that's something that I'm doing more of, too, is developing my intuitive abilities. I've always had them, and I think we all have them, but I denied them for a long time. And I thought, oh, that's just my imagination, or people will think I'm strange. And whenever these, what I call cosmic coincidences, would occur, I would hear the Twilight Zone song in my head, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's
yeah.
like, oh, of course. You know, of course I'm hearing voices. And again, I've been a psychiatric social worker for a long time, so I know the difference between psychosis and spiritual guidance. So, you know, guidance, whether they're animals, whether they're voices, whether they're images or songs on the radio, whatever they are, talking to my parents since they both passed, talking to my husband since he passed, you know, those all feel quite natural to me now. So if any of your listeners are questioning their own intuitive abilities, as long as you're using them for the good, dive right in, regardless of what anybody says about them, because they're, I feel that they're messages from spirit, whatever you want to call it, guiding you in a positive direction. And what I say is that goosebumps are my truth barometer. If I have goosebumps when someone says something, it's like, yes, I got it. You know, I heard it. This is real. So that's a big part of what I'm doing is trusting my intuition and that inner guidance. And it guided me to write my book. It guided me to do my own radio show. I've connected with phenomenal people over the last few years because I issued an invitation. For your listeners, you know, ask yourselves what is it you want to bring into your life, and then issue an invitation as if you're inviting someone to your home, and see what happens. You know, have you had that experience yourself, Jan, where you put something out there and then you're surprised when it shows up?
Well, not anymore. I'm not surprised, but yes, I put it out there all the time. But I think one of the points that you made is really critical for people. Is as long as it's in the highest good of all concerned. I think that's a really, really important thing, because I know that sometimes the experience I've had, particularly here in Sedona, Arizona, which is sort of like a few other places, one of the woo-woo capitals of the world, you've got people who are spiritually developed, and they're teachers, spiritual teachers. You've got people who are spiritual teacher wannabes, and then there are those who are just plain scam artists. But then you've got the other group who are the spiritual seekers who come. And unfortunately, if they're not using really good discernment and they don't have healthy boundaries and they're not using in the highest good of all concerns as one of their mantras, then they end up seeing the person, well, the person looks right, they're wearing the right clothes, they have the right accessories, they're saying the right words, they play the right music, therefore they must be real. And therefore, I've come to understand that setting healthy boundaries is critical. Mm-hmm. Discernment is critical. And the one thing that overrides all of it is, as long as it's in the highest good of all concerned. That's really so important.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you mentioned Sedona. I have a very sweet and powerful Sedona story. I was there on 11-11-11, visiting my friend Diane, who lives there. I'd actually been to Phoenix at Celebrate Your Life conference that I'd gone to attend. And I figured, well, while I'm in the neighborhood, and so I think it's about, what, a two-hour, two-and-a-half-hour drive to Sedona. And I was visiting Diane, and on 11-11, we went to a bunch of yard sales because she wanted to find some fireplace equipment, which she never found. But I found this amazing spice canister. It looks like a regular, you know, spice can, And on the front of it, it says, love, spice for living, net weight immeasurable. And so I take it with me to every workshop I do, to every presentation I do, every time I have a vendor table, I have it there. And I do this exercise with people called, you know, I have them sprinkle each other with love. Like any spice can, it's got three openings. It's got the sprinkle opening, it's got the dump opening, like the little tiny one, and then it's got the spoon opening where you can stick a little spoon in there and take out the spice. So I ask people as we go around the circle, if, you know, have them ask the person next to them, do you want to be sprinkled, spooned, dumped, all of the above, or none of the above? And the most amazing things come out of it. First of all, there's the can appears to be empty, but it's really not. It's filled with love. Right. And I thought about putting glitter in it, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I want people to be able to feel the love. And people actually say they can see stuff coming out of it. Then they, you know, I ask them to express what it's like to be loved on, to be the one offering the love, to watch other people get loved on, and to anticipate getting loved on. And there have been people that have said, oh, no, I don't want too much because I don't want to get too used to it because love goes away. Some people have even said, I don't want any because it hurts, because love hurts. Some people say, give it all. I want it all. Some people only want a little bit because they get overwhelmed with it. So it's such an amazing metaphor for love, for our lives and relationships. So that found me. I'm convinced that that can found me in Sedona. I didn't just find it. And I loved Red Rocks. It was, but the other thing, too, is that I thought I'd be overwhelmed with the energy there, and I wasn't. I, you know, it was like a sense of, peacefulness. I wasn't buzzy. I wasn't zoomy. I wasn't supercharged. So I guess I was ready for it.
I don't know. There is a definite energy difference between being in Sedona and in different parts of Sedona, as well as I live outside of Sedona in what's called the Village of Oak Creek, which is has some amazing rock views. We're in between a couple of the different vortexes, and I have a problem every time I say that word. They call them vortexes here, and I want to say
vortices.
You know, but anyway, it still is so peaceful here in the village. And you go into Sedona, particularly when it's in tourist season, and especially in certain parts of Sedona, and the energy is absolutely frenetic. Mm-hmm. And when I get back out here to the village, it's like I can breathe again. And yet there are areas around here where in some of the rock formations where the feeling that the essence of some of the masters who are there and have their energy there is just really amazing and beautiful and filled with love. So it's a pretty powerful place. But, you know, the Native Americans never lived in Sedona. It was held for, it was meant for ceremonies, for rituals. They came to do vision quests. They came to do certain things, and then they left. They lived elsewhere. It's only the white man who has what is kind of crazy enough, if you will, to live in these amazing energy places instead of using them for the real ceremonial and holy rituals that where that energy is powerful and where you can use it, not where you're there every day. There is a problem. A lot of people in Sedona, when they've lived here for a number of years, have to leave because they go kind of crazy.
I can believe that. You know, the energy probably gets really overwhelming at times. And I guess if you're not prepared to handle it, I've had experiences where I had, how many years ago was this? 2004. I had a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. I had no clue that it was going to happen. I mean, I knew what that was. I'd heard of it, but I'd never experienced it. But I had an experience where it felt like all the chakras were blown wide open. And it was like a lavalier blind that was open all the way, and the sun was blasting in, and it was way too bright. I couldn't sleep for more than a few hours a night for 8 months. And I felt like all this energy was buzzing through me. And I did a lot of grounding exercises, and it took a while before I felt balanced, before I felt sane and vertical, I guess is how I would describe it.
Yeah.
So energy can be overwhelming at times. So it does help to work with someone credible and reliable, and as you said, using discernment when you attract a spiritual teacher, you know, is to trust your guidance.
That's a good point for a lot of listeners, is when you start feeling that, what you were just describing about that energy that's just buzzing all through you, and you're not getting enough, you're not able to sleep very much, and it is important, I think, at that point in time to find somebody who either has been there or understands about energy, who works with energy, and using your discernment and, again, the criteria of the highest good of all concerned, and also setting up healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
That's what you, what you will and will not accept.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a huge part of my work, too, is healthy boundaries. I teach classes on codependence, primarily because I am a recovering codependent. I grew up in a family where there were no addictions, no abuse, no, you know, anything that you would think would create a codependent, but I became such a good little caregiver that I became a professional and personal caregiver, and I've learned that I have the right to say no. I have the right to say yes, and it's up to me to set my own boundaries because nobody's going to respect them if I don't set them. And I practiced what I called savior behavior, you know, which means I thought I could fix, save, heal, cure, kiss all the boo-boos and make it better, and I can't. And it's not my job to fix it. It's my job to help people help themselves.
Right.
And I think about how many times I might have disempowered someone because I tried to rescue them, whether or not they asked for it. Even if they asked for it, these days I'm saying, no, I'm not going to fix it for you, but I'll show you how to fix it yourself if I know how. And I don't always have the answers. And I encourage people to look within themselves and say, what best resonates with you? How can you best serve yourself in this process?
Right, right.
So I think that's
you know, it's interesting because these teachings are cyclical. They go round and round. I remember back in the 70s when I was going to workshops and seminars and learning, and one of the ones that made a huge impact on me was a workshop where we learned about the victim-rescuer-persecutor triangle that goes on. And it's just phenomenal that, you know, the victim's there, and I come along and I rescue this person, but then I turn around from the persecutor, but then I turn around and persecute the persecutor who then becomes the victim, and it just is vicious.
I teach about
really
that, too.
Incredible.
It's
incredible.
Called the Karpman. It's called the Karpman, K-A-R-P-M-A-N, drama triangle, for those who are academically inclined. And I do see that. I teach about that when I teach for social workers, actually, my continuing ed classes, and that's huge. And it all, at one time or another, we've all felt like the victim. We've all felt like the rescuer. We've all felt like the persecutor. But they're all just stories. They're roles we play. I also talk about the idea of victim, survivor, thriver. That when somebody experiences a trauma, whether it's abuse, whether it's loss, death, whatever it is, that happened. We can't deny that those things happened. But we have a choice about whether we remain victimized by the event and our thoughts about the event. And not in any way am I diminishing the horror that some people have experienced. The next step is survivor, and that's to be able to take a look at the events that happen and decide what meaning we find in them. Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl. Have you ever read that book? Are you familiar with him?
I'm familiar with the book. I haven't read it, but I'm familiar.
Okay. It's based on the idea. He was a Holocaust survivor. I think that everyone in his family died in the camps, but he decided that he was not going to let the Nazis steal his heart and his mind. So that's what the book is about. And there are plenty of survivors out there. There are plenty of people that have survived traumas. Some of them stay in the survivor mode where they say, okay, I made it through this, but here's my boo-boo, and I want to keep looking at it, maybe picking at it, whatever it is, and they still can't get past that point. The ones that do get past it become thrivers. These are people who are able to take what happened to them and move beyond it and help other people, give back. People like Bill W., who created AA, Bill W. and Dr. Bob, who created AA. Alex, whose last name escapes me, Alex's Lemonade, and then her parents after she passed. The folks that created Mothers Against Drunk Driving, those kind of things. People that give back to the community are resilient thrivers. And I've learned to become one of them, and I teach people how to be resilient thrivers, especially in the midst midst of a lot of the pain that they've experienced.
Right. Are there, let's just go, do you have by any chance like 3 steps or 5 steps that somebody who needs this to become a thriver,
mm-hmm.
who's gone through
yes.
this, can you share that with us?
Absolutely. The first step, once again, is to acknowledge where you are. Do a full-on scale, body, mind, spirit, emotion scale, scan of your body, of yourself. Say, okay, my body is feeling heavy, buzzy, tired, achy, whatever it is. Be aware of what's going on in your body, because that's usually where people experience the response or the reaction to stress, with headaches, with chest pains, with palpitations, with fatigue, all of those things. So ask yourself, what is my body feeling? Then, what thoughts am I having about what I'm feeling physically? I'm judging that I shouldn't be feeling this way, or I'm hearing thoughts that say, oh, you better worry, or this is going to happen, or this is bad. Then do an emotional scan. What are my feelings? Sad, scared, happy, what else? Angry. We're not used to being aware of our emotions. We usually turn them into thoughts. Rather than saying, I feel sad, somebody might say, I feel worried that this is going to happen. Worry is one of those nebulous things. It's sort of a thought. It's not really an emotion. But it gets tangled up. And then spiritually, ask yourself, how much do I trust that this is going to be okay? And what I tell people all the time is that you have survived everything that has ever happened to you because you're here to talk about it. There's nothing you haven't survived. So that's the spiritual part, is what can you lean on? What can you trust? What can you have a sense of faith in? And as an interfaith minister, I don't tell anybody what to believe spiritually because it's an inside job. But if you have any kind of connection with a source, with a capital S, whether you call it God, Goddess, all that is, spirit, whatever it is, tap into that for your rejuvenation. So we did body, mind, spirit, emotion. I think did we cover all of them? Yeah, I think we did. So those are some things that you can do. So do that scan. Where am I now? Then you think about, you can honor that loss. You can honor your survivorship. And then think, how do I get to that next step? How do I become a thriver? Recruit support. Talk to people. If you don't have someone in your life immediately, there are self-help groups. There's AA, NA, there's Gamblers Anonymous. There's also Suicide Anonymous. Now, that's newer. I actually have friends that facilitate a Suicide Anonymous group. There are only 2 places in the United States that have Suicide Anonymous groups. One's in Tennessee and one is in New Jersey. My friends are the ones in New Jersey. And if you can't get to a meeting in person, you can do it via Skype. So you can look up suicideanonymous.net. There are some people who may be desperate enough, thinking about, because things feel so hard, that they want to end their lives. Contact Suicide Anonymous. If you're dealing with addiction. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. And these are people who are quite public about the fact that they've been through it themselves, that they've mm-hmm. had thoughts themselves. And they're not therapists. Just like AA is not therapy, neither is Suicide Anonymous. But they are certified peer specialists, my friends Phil and Janet. And they are just remarkable resources. So get support. If you belong to a faith community, talk to the clergy person there. Some churches, synagogues, mosques, temples have, I forget what you call it, but it could be some kind of community support. One organization that I'm a part of has what they call Friends from the Heart, and they're there to be a support if you're going through crisis as well. There are also crisis hotlines in your area, so get help. You do not have to do this alone, regardless of what you're going through. There's somebody out there that's been through what you've gone through and can be a guide. If you're in need of therapy, find a good therapist. Find somebody that you can count on. If medications are needed, now I'm not a huge advocate of medications, but I know that they're lifesavers for people sometimes, find a competent medical doctor who can prescribe, preferably a psychiatrist who can prescribe medications. You know, those are the things that the people can do. If you have experienced a loss, if you're a widow or widower, there are support groups. If you've lost a child, there's compassionate friends. There are all kinds of resources out there. And just, you know, and the internet is an amazing thing that, you know, you can Google just about anything.
Yeah, really, really. Well, Edie, I'm going to interrupt here for just a minute and tell our listeners, if you would like to speak with Edie, now is a good time to call in. And that number is 347-205-9074. Or you can call in via Skype if you would like. And while we're giving them an opportunity to call in, Edie, tell us about your contact information. If somebody wants to connect with you, how would they do that?
Okay, well, there's several ways to do it. One is through my radio show that I had mentioned. Ooh, I'm getting some feedback here. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Maybe it's the quail talking to us. I don't know.
Yes.
It sounded repetitive. There you go. I have a radio show on Thursday nights called It's All About Relationships, and it's on Blog Talk Radio, Vivid Life Radio, and it's from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's www.vividlife.me. So you can hear more of interviews with people whose work is around the area of relationships. I write for BeliefNet called the Belissa Blog. I write for Vivid Life as well. I write for Elephant Journal, Wisdom Magazine, the Whirling Blog, W-H-I-R-L-I-N-G, a whole bunch of different places there. My website is liveinjoy, liveinjoy.org. And then my book is called The Bliss Mistress Guide to Transforming the Ordinary into the Extraordinary. And it's available via Amazon, whether in Kindle or paperback or hardback. I encourage you to bring home bliss that way. And the chapters are what I call chicken soup for the soul genre, slice of life stories. And some of them are about experiences that I've had, including the end-of-life journey with my mom when she was on hospice, and an interview with the Dalai Lama that I had the joy of doing in 2008 when he came to Philadelphia. So I encourage you to check out the book, you know, and share, you know, share the idea of the book with, you know, with your friends, family members, and alike.
Okay. And otherwise, listeners, also go to PurposeTalkRadio.com and click on the guest link, and then you'll find the link to Edie's page, and that also gives information on how to connect to her. And there's also a link there to her book of The Bliss Mistress Guide to Transforming the Ordinary into the Extraordinary. So that's another way to be able to find her as well. Okay, and if you want to contact me, then do so by jan@purposetalkradio.com. So, Edie. Oh, and also, excuse me, one more thing. If anybody wants a card reading, go ahead and call in now. This is a good time to do it, and following the interview, we'll go ahead and do those readings. So, Edie, did I forget anything? Is there something that you'd like to talk about that we didn't cover?
No, I think we pretty much covered it all in an hour. That's amazing. But what I invite your listeners to do is to really look inside their own hearts and to be able to recognize how beautiful you are, how you are love incarnate, that there's nothing about you that's broken. Even if you have some broken places, there's nothing that's permanently wounded, that you can live the life of your dreams and desires. Once you allow yourself to do that, there's nothing stopping you. There absolutely isn't. I'm happy to work with people. I do what I call bliss coaching. The bliss stands for brilliant, loving, intuitive, safe service, where I have you tap into your own intuition, your own idea of what you need, and I help you get there. I help you go from where you are to where you want to be. And it's short term. It's not therapy, even though I do have a background in degrees in therapy, you know, in therapeutic arts. It's not therapy, but it's short term, focused, goal oriented, how to get you from where you are to where you most want to be. And you can contact me also via my email address, which is bydivinedesign@comcast.net. I'm also on Facebook, but I'm maxed out on friends, but you can follow on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and I would love to connect with your listeners. And I'm so honored that you had me on the show. This is amazing. So thank you.
Well, we have one more question.
Sure.
Cindy sent me a question that she wants to know, are there more steps to becoming a thriver?
Yeah, beyond what I'd said. Every day, notice what brings you joy. Every day, notice what delights you. And dive into that. I am never, ever bored. I'm what I call frequently fascinated. Find something every day that fascinates you. Go on a miracle walk. Sark, Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, amazing artist and writer, encourages people to go on a miracle walk where every day you look around and you say, oh, well, look at that. You know, look at that beautiful bird, or look at that puppy dog that's, you know, that's walking. It's, whenever I see dogs, I ask the person, are you walking him or her or she or he walking you? You know, play with flirt with babies. Although my son says, you're scaring the kid, you shouldn't be doing that, you know, but they like it. Blow bubbles, have bubbles in your car, blow bubbles out the window. Just let yourself be playful. Remember when you were a child, even in the most difficult childhood, there's some kind of joy that you can elicit for yourself from back then. Garden, dig in the dirt, dig your toes, dig your fingers in the soil, be around water, be around people that are thrivers themselves. You know, we like attracts like, and we teach people how to treat us. So the more you're around people that are light, the more light you're going to feel. What else? Listen to music, dance, drum, move your body, write, you know, honor loved ones living or who have passed, have a spiritual practice, do something for other people, volunteer, you know, feel like you have a purpose. And if you're not sure what it is, create one. What have you always loved to do? What lights you up from the inside? What turns you into a human sparkler? Those are things that you can do to thrive. Take care of your body. Get enough sleep. Now, I'm feeling hypocritical when I'm saying that because I don't always get enough sleep. Eat healthfully. You know, quiet the monkey mind. Feed it a banana. You know, chocolate is my drug of choice, and it has medicinal properties. So, you know, all of that, whatever nurtures you, body, mind, and spirit, do it. Get out there and do it. You know, and I could talk about this all day. But believe in magic. You know, believe in magic. Like you said, that card that you pulled with the gnomes and the fairies and all that. I don't believe they're real. I know they're real. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I don't just believe. I know. In fact, I'm a clown, and my character is a fairy. Her name is Feather. And I actually have two sets of wings in my car. And when at my workshops, besides having the love can, I give out feathers and chocolate. So that's reason enough to come to my workshops.
Yeah,
I also
really,
travel.
Really.
I'm happy to travel and teach. So if you have, if anybody would love to bring me in, I would love to come in to, you know, to teach.
All right.
So,
awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully that answers Cindy's questions about, I mean, there are plenty of other things to do to thrive, but those are just what come to mind in the immediate. And there's more in the book. There are more, you know, more ideas for thrivers in the book.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Well, Edie, thank you
welcome.
Very much for being with us. It's been lovely having
my
you.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right.
Yeah, my absolute pleasure.
Good. And for our listeners, I want to remind you that next week we have Kate Gardner is going to be on the show, and with the Freedom and Empowerment Campaign, which is overcoming domestic violence. Kate is in the UK, and her administrator Sandra Smith is going to be with her. She's also in the UK. And there's somebody here in the States who's working with teens on that. And the week after that, I'm going to be the guest along with Joe Montedonico. How's that for a last name? Joe Montedonico is a malpractice attorney, and we're going to be talking about the medical advocacy program. And if you're interested in becoming a medical advocate or how medical advocacy can help you and or your family. So I want to make sure that you tune in for that. And also, let everybody know if you're going to be close to Sedona to come to the Angel Party on April 24th, and I'll post that on Facebook again. So we do have a caller, and I'm going to take this call, and we'll find out whether they want to talk to you or they want a reading or what, okay?
Absolutely.
Hi, you're on the air. This is Jan. Who's this?
Hi, it's nice to meet you both. My name is Vernell, and so is the V as in Victoria.
Hi, Vernell.
Hi. Well, good afternoon to you both.
Thank you.
I was calling for a reading, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the state of Virginia.
Okay. That's where that accent comes from, right?
I think so. I lived on the East Coast all my life.
Okay. All right. So what can we do for you?
Okay. I was wondering about if y'all might know if in the future if I will be getting married and if it might be with someone that I'm with currently.
Okay. You have a choice, Vanel. I have three cards that I've drawn. You can choose one of those. Or I can work with the deck, and you can pick a card from the deck.
Okay. Let's see. I'll pick one of the three cards.
All right. Which one's it going to be, one, two, or three?
Okay. I will pick number three.
Okay. Number three. Put my glasses on here so I can tell what it is. Number three is called the womb. And the womb is, this is a very interesting card. And I'm not going to talk to you about marriage relationships with this card because it may or may not be that. But the card shows a young woman who is obviously pregnant. She is being held, on either side of her is an angel. And the shape of the card is that of a womb, as though they're coming out of the womb. And you can see inside this young woman who's being supported by the two angels, a baby. So she is obviously quite pregnant. The thing about this card is it has to do not necessarily with physical pregnancy, but with some sort of a project that you have been contemplating, some sort of something that you want to do. Now, whether it is less to do with relationships and with marriage than it is, unless, you know, maybe you are pregnant, I don't know. But the other part of it to consider is something that you have been thinking about birthing, a book that you've been intending to write, music that you've been intending to write or sing or play, whether it's artwork, whether it is some sort of a professional event that you want to create, something along that line, that there is some project that you have been contemplating. And you've been working on it because, according to this, this young woman is getting prepared to birth this child. So it's not like it's an itty-bitty, just concepted fetus. It's actually a full-grown fetus. So think about that. If there, whatever it is that has been working in your mind and that you've been thinking about doing and you've been developing it, even if it's just in thought form, now is the time to actually bring it into life, to actually conceptualize it, not just as the seed of an idea, but to grow it completely until it's ready to be born. Because the time is coming close.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming close for you to walk into whatever this new life is that you're walking into.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that doesn't help you as far as your question about marriage, but does it make sense to you?
I've been really thinking about things off and on because my life has been at a standstill for so long, and I've been getting all kinds of ideas of what I should try to accomplish, and so I have to think about that more.
Well, let me go back to something that Edie was talking about, is find your bliss. Find something that gives you total joy. And the other thing to do is go back to when you were as early a memory as you can have, when you were a child. And think of the things that you used to make you happy, that used to make you smile, those little teeny incidents that you've carried forth with you that you think back on a memory and you smile. Or you think of it, you just don't let that memory go. It's something that's really important to you. Because often people will say, you know what you're going to do when you're an adult, when you think about the things that you really, really loved when you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So think about some of those. I mean, I know when I was 4 and a half, my father died. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with meeting him at night in quote-unquote dreams. And this went on until I was 13 years old. I would meet him at night. It was a beautiful sky, and it was brilliant, and I would run and throw myself into his arms, and we'd walk and talk all night long.
Uh-huh.
And this was my first experience with dealing with somebody who was no longer in physical form.
Mm-hmm.
And today I do angel readings. I talk with angels. I talk with people who are not in physical form any longer, and it gives me great joy because that was something that was really a joyful experience. The other thing I used to do when I was 3 is I would go around with a medical bag, and I would give the other kids in the house, you know, if they were sick, I'd listen with the stethoscope, and I'd wear my hat and carry my doctor bag and give them little dragees, pills, candy pills, so that they would get better. But this also was something that was a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in medicine in some very form of medical field all my life. And now I am also a medical advocate. So these are two things that are very, very important to me in my life that go all the way back to when I was really a little girl and didn't know any better. So think about some of those things that happened or that you really loved that was a part of you, an integral part of you when you were a little girl. And those are the things, if you've got anything that you've been thinking about doing that relates to those, that's where I would recommend that you focus your attention. Because this card relates not only to you giving birth, but to you birthing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's time for you to birth yourself. But again, take the ideas, conceptualize them, draw them, write them, talk about them, whatever it is. And don't get too many ideas, you know, I mean, because otherwise we just end up with scatterbrain stuff. But
yeah.
Think about those things and then bring them into life. Because
mm-hmm.
it's you're birthing.
Okay. And I have one other question. Do y'all know if I will move this year?
Looking at this particular card, in a sense, I would say yes.
Yes.
That there is a move coming up for you. And part of it is because this little baby looks like it's walking. So whatever it is that you're birthing yourself or this project, it implies movement. So there's a very good chance that you will be moving this year, yes.
Okay. Okay. And I guess you don't know if I would be alone or...
Well, you know, that is less important according to the angelic realm and according to the card. It's less important. You're not going to be alone because you're going to have these two angels. You've got two women, two angels, one on either side of you, who are helping support you and are walking with you as you bring whatever this is, as you birth yourself and you bring this project into reality, into being, as you manifest it. So there's two people around you who are very supportive of you, and they're going to help you with whatever it is that you're doing. Now, whether that means this card doesn't give me any indication, and I don't get any sense of whether you're going to be married or not.
Okay.
What it does say is that you are in the process of birthing yourself, and birthing a project, and that there are two women, one on either side of you, who are very important in this, who are going to be supportive of you and help
mm-hmm.
you as you go through forward in this.
Okay.
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 All right.
I thank you for the reading.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, y'all have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was the only caller that we have, and Edie has left the room, or left the building, as they say, so we are going to call this show to an end, and I want to remind you all to go to PurposeTalkRadio.com, check on the guests, click on the guest tab, and you can find not only the links to Edie's information, but to upcoming events as well, upcoming guests as well. You can connect with me by emailing jan@purposetalkradio.com, and I'll be glad to connect with you. The next show is going to be with Kate Gardner, Freedom and Empowerment, and it's dealing with freedom from domestic abuse. We want to thank Cindy Freeman for being this wonderful facilitator for our show, and also True Trinity for the song I Am Who I Am. So for this week, I want to wish you soul blessings. And we'll talk with you again next week.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.